This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is Jack Hogan. He is a singer, songwriter, and has a brand new album coming out called The Death of Jack Hogan. Hey, Jack. Thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Zach. I'm so glad to be here.
Anytime. No, listen, I'm glad you are here. I'm glad we're going to be talking about your brand new album called The Death of Jack Hogan. First off, tell us about that album. What's it all about?
Well, I suffered. That's too much. I had a breakup, and it was at a time when I was really sick. So it was kind of, I was losing myself and my health at the same time I was losing the person closest to me.
Yeah.
And at the time music had just been a hobby at that point, and it still is just a hobby. But it was that experience that made me feel like, oh, maybe there's some stuff I want to say out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, where somebody can hear. And so I wrote, you know, an album about that experience out of some of the songs I had. And what I kind of gathered from that album is that whatever person was there before that breakup really wasn't there anymore. You know, in a sense, like that the coming together of that relationship and the ending of it kind of changed who I was. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I found myself having all these songs that I had written while I was with him and so on and so forth that I didn't relate to. It wasn't me that wrote them. You know, that was somebody else. I wasn't even born yet, you know?
Yeah.
So the album is really, it's a collection of songs that are from before I was even born. And a collection of songs that kind of reflect on, well, what do I do now?
You know, and Jack, I mean, it's just cool because you know you come from just doing this for fun, and now you're releasing your art to people. You know, is that challenging for you to have your work out there and people listening to it when you've kind of had it closed up for such a long time?
Oh no, not at all. Because I don't think anybody's listening to it. That's the great thing is that either it's out there and it's just for me to brag about to my friends, and there's no side effects.
Yes.
Or people listen to it and it's talked about, and I have this awful problem of being a successful musician. So it's like
Do you want to make money off of it, or do you not want to make money off it?
Yeah, exactly. It's just that you put it out into the universe, and it's like, if it becomes a thing, then that's a wonderful problem I will face at that time. until then, it's something to survive. You know, it's something to keep going.
And what's crazy is you grew up on a family farm. You know, when you first, you know, grew up when you were, you know, just starting music. Was that experience at all involved in making this album come to life a little bit?
Oh yeah. Most of the songs that aren't on there that I made for the album, you know, ones that you kind of write for the project that just stay on the cutting room floor were really sentimental songs about mm-hmm. growing up in Alabama. And I songs about my grandmother specifically. And I just found while I was writing them, you know, I didn't include them because those things are still true and a part of me. You know what I mean? It didn't make sense to put them on, you know, an album kind of passing an identity along, because it's something that's still very much a part of me. But every time I'm singing, you know, I'm thinking about my grandmother singing in church. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where all these sounds come from. You know, is really from that area. You know, bullfrogs croaking, crickets chirping.
Was she kind of the one who taught you kind of the way of music in a sense?
Man, she would laugh at that. she was a terrible singer. She is a terrible singer. She would say that. That's how I learned to sing, being a terrible singer, is that she had to figure out how to be in the church choir every Sunday and not know how to sing and do that for 70 years. Like, she just, and at some point you have to figure out, like, how do I be a musician without knowing how to play music? And I mean, that's how Bob Dylan got the Nobel Prize, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do I play music without having any idea how to play music? And it's I think that it's the same thing with my grandmother.
Listen, I have the talent of, like, you know, if you give me a song to play on the piano, maybe I can, like, sort of kind of play it out a little bit, like, figure out what the notes are or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of just like a passion, you know, if you're passionate about what you do and you're passionate about, you know, being being involved in the, you know, the music scene, whatever, you know, you want to strive at it. You want to be successful, you know? And I think that's where, you know, Jack Hogan's new album comes from. You know, it's just, it's the drive to be, to just let your feelings out, you know, and let it all out. Was it hard to kind of cut things out of the cutting room floor? Was it kind of difficult to figure out what you wanted to put in this album, or was it all kind of natural?
No, because it's not mutually exclusive choices anymore, mm-hmm. in terms of it's part of the album and it, you know, goes out there, or it's not part of the album and it doesn't go out there. You know, I mean, Bob Dylan's just a good reference musically because he's just lived so long. It's, you know, he's made so much money off the bootleg series, which is just stuff he chose not to release, right? It's just stuff that was laying around.
Yeah.
no effort involved. Like, I mean, it's just like, so like having like 50 songs for the like 20 that come out, like just sitting around is great because I can release them as singles. I can work them out in a new album, or I can just let them sit. And then the off chance one day any of this becomes valuable, you know, I can sell it to Columbia Records as an off, you know, like, it's that yeah. kind of thing. It's,
yeah.
There's no loss with music creation now, because it's not, if you want it to be out there, it takes about, you know, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, put it out there, you know? Let people discover you. It's every single track is now like a business card, you know?
Yeah. I haven't thought about it that way. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So the new album, you know, obviously it's called The Death of Jack Hogan. The name of that album, you know, are you going to now have the next one is going to be like The Life of Jack Hogan? Like, or is it going to be like the reincarnation? Well, like, what's, why The Death of Jack Hogan?
Well, fuck Zach. I can't do it now. that's what I was, sorry, my boyfriend's in the corner over here laughing his butt off because he knows that that's exactly what I was going to call it. All right. Well,
you can steal it. It's a great idea. There you go.
it was going to be The Birth of Jack Hogan or something like that. Or I was going to make some Renaissance joke, or like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that's, the truth of the matter is that, like, I think every artist thinks that they're going to make like a part two to whatever album they just made. And then something else happens.
You know,
and that's where the album comes. That's where the next album comes from. It's from a place that you just didn't.
Yeah,
it's a part one of something you didn't know you were going to write, not a part two of something you already did.
You do something too that most artists don't do nowadays is you make long songs. You make very long songs, like 8-minute tracks. Yeah. I mean, you sent me one that was like 30 minutes, and I was like, I was like, wow, that is long for a song. Is that grueling to make, or is that just natural to you?
Oh, this is kind of a lawyer thing, maybe. I can't remember who said it. Insert, you know, fancy pantsy literary reference. It's a lot easier to write a short letter than it is to write a long one.
See, I think it's opposite though, because like when I was in like, I don't know, high school or in college, I know I had to write an essay. I could not, for the life of me, write like a 40 paragraph essay, you know? I would usually maybe cut that down to like maybe 2 or 3 paragraphs. So I think it's talent in itself to be able to stretch it that long.
Zach, I think you're missing. You care about what you say. you're thinking before you write something down. That's the difference.
Depends.
it's easy. Yeah, doing a 30-minute song for me is the easiest thing I can do, because one, most of my music is EAB7 in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Or it's 4 chords if we're going to get really fancy. You know what I mean? And it's just anything else is just variations on the theme. And this is how folk and roots music like work. So it's, I mean, it's not difficult just to go on and on and on and on, you know. It really is much more difficult, I think, to cut it down to where like 3 of the 10 verses tell a story,
So harder to cut down than it is easier to just let it ride as is natural musical talent. Mm-hmm.
But I'm also letting out, like, I'm releasing outtakes. You know, I'm really leaning heavily into the fact that we live in kind of an outtake world, a remix world, you know, single world. Like, it's just the album, like the fully finished produced album, just isn't the only way to do things anymore. So it's like I have the luxury of being able to send out like my full rambling thought that I had at whatever time. You know, I'll throw some reverb on there and that'll be it. And then when the album comes out, you know, it's like, okay, well, that 30-minute song is now 2 4-minute and 30-second songs, and they're you know, cohesive. You know, there's a, it's that's that, but that's because somebody either I spent the time doing that, or more likely, a neutral producer spent time saying, I don't think that works, but that does, you know.
And that's so unique about you too, because, you know, I mean, many people would just let go of that, you know, that those demo takes or those things that are just on the cutting room floor, they would just throw it away because those are just things you don't want people to hear, because then they get the impression like, oh, well, that's terrible. Maybe the actual album's terrible or something like that. You know, they get the impression of like, oh, maybe that version's better than the original version, you know. But you're totally okay with that. And I think that's really great as an artist, because it gives people, you know, that second taste of what they've already kind of created in a sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I also wouldn't mind people hating my music. Oh, genuinely. No. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but really, because I'm not writing it necessarily. It's like, of course everybody wants to have popular music, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, but I'm writing down what I'm writing down, 'cause it's what I want to write down. And if it comes out 30 minutes and no one listens to it, then like that's no skin off my back. I'm just as happy.
That is awesome. And you know what? And I think it's great that you are, you know, you're doing something different, you know, because many artists do kind of the similar thing. You know, you're taking it a step forward. You're being like, you know, this is what people need to be listening to. They need to be listening to not only just the song, but they also need to listen to the demo track. They also need to be listening to what I kind of had envisioned in the first place, you know, when I was just, I don't know, singing on the bedroom floor or something like that. Where does most of your music come from?
Oh, it's synthesis. I know that it is. I'd like to think that I think of stuff. You know, I mean, I think everybody would like to think that they think of things originally. But I know that what I'm doing is referencing, you know, the human brain just references, you know, the million different things we've heard, sort of automatically synthesizes it all together. And I think that what I play is just an amalgamation of what I've listened to and seen. Really, I think most of my music, quite literally, not just in a subconscious way, is or musical references or movie references or literary references. It's not overt. It's just that I like this chord from this song, so I'll randomly play it, you know, like there, you know, for no particular reason other than the fact that it was somewhere else. And I liked it. I think that's where most of my music comes from in that sense. If we're thinking about it conceptually, like where do I start writing music from? You know, what do I put those references on? What, you know, what bones are do you put the meat onto? It's trauma. I deal significantly with direct services homelessness work in LA, and I've done direct services legal work for 11 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much more common for me to see somebody, you know, burnt alive in the morgue or you know, have to watch rape videos over and over again for somebody I'm defending, or like, I mean, it's mm-hmm. when you reach that level of arbitrariness in the world, like you have to put that somewhere. You either you put it on the people around you in a way that's not good, or you put it you scream into a jar. I mean, this is screaming into the jar.
I worked in news for the longest time, so I mean, I know exactly what you mean.
You know
by
exactly.
That. I know exactly how you feel too. It's just, you know, it's grueling out there, and but you know, you need an outlet to express yourself, to get that anger out, you know, and get your feelings out. And I think that's what's great about this brand new album too, The Death of Jack Hogan. It's going to be. It's awesome because it's got all of you, you know, it's got everything that, you know, you're kind of throwing out to the world in a sense and more. Where can people check out the album and where can people listen to the album?
The album itself will be released in 60 days. It's produced by Robert Ruby, a producer in LA I'm very fond of, who's very good at things I'm not. Which is, I think, what you want in a producer. They can check that out on Spotify, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, YouTube, all under Jack Hogan. And right now I have about, I think, 15 outtakes and demo tapes from my time in Los Angeles, most of which are originals, but many of which are covers, including one of like a popular song like The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel. You know, everybody has a cover of that, and I figured I'd just get it out of the way now. you know, those are all already out to listen to Apple Music on Spotify. Those are all out there under Jack Hogan, and they're referenced In case anybody actually is listening and looking up, I have them by number, like what take they are. So it's like the boxer take number seven for take number seven. And then I have, I think those are part of the sunset demos, and I have that in parentheses. So it's already set up, you know, in an archival sense to where when the album does come out with just the boxer, there won't be any need to change anything in your music library.
That is awesome. Well, you know, and speaking of covers, we're going to hear a cover of yours in just a few seconds here called Bargain Store Number One. Before we listen to it, though, give us a little bit of a backstory. What's this all about?
Oh, man. It's well, Dolly Parton, there's a little known side to her, you know. You know, every once in a while she talks about sex. And it's something that she thinks about, I think, from time to time. And more than that, you know, I think she thinks about the way in which it you know, factors into a woman's identity. You know, and what she's thinking about is how to re-own being a slut. You know, I don't know a better way how to word that from the South. That's what she was called, and she's trying to think of how to make that part of her identity in a good way. How do I deal with being somebody that likes to sleep with people, and part of it has to do with the broken self-esteem. And she's talking about the bargain store as her body. You know, people have been here before, and if you come in and you love me, you can have the goods. And I think it's a Southerner trying to really grapple with the fact that they don't conform with the lifestyle that they either expected or was expected of them. And they have to be, she has to be okay. She's both obviously okay and not okay with it at the same time.
Well, I'm excited for everybody to hear it. Here it is on the Website Music Station. It's called Bargain Store Number One. It's a cover by Jack Hogan and the brand new album, The Death of Jack Hogan. You can check it out once it releases soon. Here it is on the Website Music Station, Z Radio Live. Jack Hogan, thanks again for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Want to hear more? Listen to The Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.